Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Money Mom Show. Are you tired of struggling day after day to reach your financial goals with no success? Do you want to know how to use God's Word as a roadmap to reach your financial destiny? Then this is the show for you. Your host is none other than Sherry Gray, one of America's leading financial coaches. As a host and financial coach, Sherry has helped thousands of individuals and families nationwide, taking them from where they are to where they need to be financially. For the next hour, you will be armed with the knowledge to achieve victory in your finances. You will hear firsthand how Sherry uses biblical principles to teach you how to budget, eliminate debt, and save for your future. And Sherry does it all with a mom's touch, not telling you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And now, here's your host, the Money Mom, Sherry Gray.
Welcome to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray. Thank you for joining me again this month for another great show. I'm so happy you have tuned in. The title of this show is Two Incomes to One, A Couple's Experience and Advice to Spouses. And I'm so happy and thrilled to have with me as my guests, a couple, Mr. James Hales and Ms. Ashley Hales. And I just want to give you a little background on each person. Mr. James Hales was born, was originally from Laurel, Mississippi, currently lives in Durham, North Carolina. He was a computer science major at Dillard University in New Orleans. He has an MBA with a focus in IT management from North Carolina State University. And he's worked 12 years as a software engineer for both Toshiba and IBM. He is married to Ashley Hales for the past 4 years. They have one child, Lauren Hales, who's 2 years old, turning three next month. And he's an active leader in his local church, which is Gatekeeper Ministry. He started an online business venture back in 2007. It focused initially on web-related offers, such as Vistaprint, eHarmony, Nationwide Insurance, but migrated to promoting mobile applications like Christian Mingle, Candy Crush, Angry Birds. He's recently started an additional online business selling products directly to Amazon. And Ms. Ashley was actually, hometown is in Jackson, Mississippi. She moved there and was raised, shortly thereafter moved from there and was raised in Dallas, Texas. Her sister and she were raised after her parents were divorced by a hardworking single mom. She graduated valedictorian from her high school class in Tonview Law Magnet and headed off to college at Duke University, Pratt School of Engineering. She majored in structural engineering and minored in architecture. And right after graduation, she headed off to work as a project manager for an international construction management firm. James and Ashley met through mutual friends in October 2007. They discovered they had a lot in common. Mississippi roots, both rode motorcycles, lived down the road from each other, and attended the same church. Wow, that's a lot in common. They fell in love quickly and were engaged in October 2008. They were married in June 2009 in Dallas, Texas. They originally planned to have kids right away, but discovered 6 months into their marriage that she was pregnant. Oh, my goodness. Their daughter, Lauren, was born in August 2010, when she was pregnant. Even shortly after Lauren was born, she fully intended to become a working mom. Her mom did it, and her mom before her did it. But shortly after Lauren was born, she started working on a very difficult project, helping to design and construct a pharmaceutical research laboratory. That job took her away from home on late nights, early mornings, Saturdays, and Sundays. She wasn't spending any time with her husband or her daughter. After a year and a half in that situation, they both, Ashley and James, both decided it was okay for her to step away and spend time closer to home. Now she's a stay-at-home mom part-time. She works as a part-time flower shop in Raleigh, North Carolina, and she definitely thinks that she gets the best of both worlds by doing so. Wow, Ashley and James, thank you guys for being my guest this hour on the Money Mama Show. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. It's so interesting because James actually reached out to me on Facebook. We had a mutual friend, which was my little sister, and I was born and raised in Mississippi, and he was born and raised in Mississippi as well. He's a little younger than me, so I didn't. but I didn't quite remember him, but I do remember his family members and all that. But we talked a little bit a while ago, and we both shared interest in finances. He loved talking about finances, and he shared with me that his wife Ashley also in the past has done a blog about, you know, deals and things like that. So I thought they were the perfect people to come on to talk about this, especially with this topic. A lot of families would love to go from two incomes to one. And like in your case, Ashley, you work part-time, so you have the best of both worlds. But a lot of people don't think they can do it. And I just want I'm glad you guys are here this hour just to share your experiences and the good, the bad, and everything so that people can be encouraged by your story. I know that both of you came to the decision for Ashley to spend more time at home. So I kind of already answered my first question. What made the two of you decide that Ashley would become a stay-at-home mom? And what did you do to prepare financially and personally for that transition?
Ashley, you want to go first?
Either one.
Sure, yeah. Gosh, for a woman, I think every woman has that challenge with, you know, trying to determine whether or not to continue working or to be a stay-at-home mom. I mean, it's such a big,
yeah.
you know, decision for women in this generation especially, right, with so many opportunities.
Yeah.
But in my particular situation, or in our particular situation, I was at a really high-level stress job. And, you know, at the time, and I guess still now, James was making significantly more than me in his career. And so, you know, with a new baby, at the, you know, when I was at that, in that position, in that situation, Lauren was less than a year old. And, you know, I would work, again, you know, 14-hour days were the norm. And, you know, he was pulled away a lot from his job and from other things with his investments in some of his internet projects to spend time with Lauren and to take care of Lauren. And he happily accepted the responsibility, but, you know, it became a financial decision, you know, that, you know, he was making, you know, 50%, he was making my amount, my salary plus 50% more, and he was falling behind in his work so that I could make so much less. And so, you know, we talked about that stress. And in addition, you know, the stress of being a mom and an employee and everything, it was wearing on our marriage as well. And so we kind of looked at the picture holistically. You know, I'd also found that I kind of I missed the opportunity to be at home with my daughter. I mean, everyone can relate to that. We want to spend time with our kids, and I wasn't able to do that. And, you know, I remember, I'll never forget the time, we'd gone over to a friend's house, and they'd asked, oh, well, would Lauren like a snack? What kind of snacks does she like? And I had to turn to James and ask James, like, what kind of snacks does she like? I don't know, just because I'd spent that little time with her. And so, you know, we looked at that situation and definitely were able to make that decision. So I guess, James, what factored into your part of making that decision?
Yeah, I echo many of a lot of things. I think that one statement about where I spent more time with Lauren than my wife did. It was like my daughter, she was more so really attached to me than my wife. And I was like, you know, in traditional sense, I was like, everybody's, you know, not that we were trying to, you know, not that we were trying to impress our friends or, you know, were being hold to them, but a lot of people really kind of look at that as like, okay, well, you know more about your daughter than your wife does. Okay, you know, what's really going on? And, I, you know, of course, me being a man, I'm like, you know, she's working in her career, and you know, I was defending her. And, you know, she said, I was like, you know, she's working in her career. This is a decision that we made at the time. But even beside that, one of the reasons that I really wanted her, that we really made the decision for her to come home because, again, she was stressed. She was very, very stressed at work. I don't know if she told you, but she worked basically construction. So, you know, she was, you know, I always joke with my wife, I was like, she would go to work with hard hat and boots on, like, every day.
Wow.
I was, it was really different. And so, in any case, it was a really stressful job, and I really wanted, she would come home stressed, and, you know, again, she would come home tired. And there was not a lot of time to really spend with the family. So, again, that took a huge toll on our family. And we decided after a lot of prayer and a lot of just, you know, thinking things through that, hey, it may be best for you to come home. You can step away and we'll figure it out from there.
Yeah, and I guess to answer your second question about how we prepared, we've started off with prayer. I definitely think having a foundation in God and talking to Him first about your decisions is so important. And then, you know, we also sought the counsel of some of our friends, you know, to make sure this wasn't just something we were seeing, right? Good counsel is very helpful at times in making good decisions. And then I'm a huge fan of Dave Ramsey, and so we kind of looked at, you know, his approach. I'm a huge fan. I think, you know, he's got a great plan with the financial or with the total money makeover. He's looked at total money makeover and his financial baby steps. And so we kind of looked at our finances, and we've been kind of working on them, but we went down his, used his baby steps almost as a checklist to kind of see exactly where we were in our financial fitness. And so we definitely, you know, went and made sure we tackled at least the first three baby steps. You know, we had our emergency
fund, if I can remember, saving $1,000 emergency fund. Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, that's right.
Paying down debt and emergency fund.
We had 3 to 6 months expenses and savings,
Awesome.
Tucked away a little. So before I even, you know, really got to the point of saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do, you know, we made sure we checked off that.
That's amazing because No, I was saying that's amazing because, as you can tell, I'm a Dave Ramsey fan as well. And one of the reasons I do what I do, and I love the Total Money Makeover. I recommend it. I teach workshops, so I always recommend that book when I teach workshops. It's an awesome resource. But so that's important because you can say, okay, this is what I want to do. I have a dream to be, you know, spend more time at home with my child. But you had a plan. It wasn't just a dream. You had a vision, but you also had an action plan.
Yep, that was, it was huge. You know, in addition to that, our household budget was very, very big. Just, you know, talking about money and laying all the cards out on the table, you know, it was instrumental, obviously, in us, accomplishing the baby steps. But that budget just, you know, gave you a daily roadmap almost of what was going on and where the money was going and what we needed to do, or, you know, where we needed to be cognitive or to watch, be watchful in making this decision, so...
And so many things are so basic, like a budget, but a lot of people, it's so challenging for people to actually do a budget because most people don't have one or they haven't done one in a long time, and they really feel like it restricts them. But I always say it frees you because you know exactly, you're telling your money what to do. I use a John Maxwell quote, and you know, tell your money what to do instead of wondering where it went, you know, but it's... You know, people just don't want to keep track of the money because they think, you know, it's restricting them and they can't do what they want to do. It's like, you can do what you want to do, but it's giving you control back when you actually do a budget. But when I, you know, teach people to do a budget, it's probably, that's the biggest hurdle. And a lot of people want a different answer than that, and they want to say, okay, they think it's more, it's not really that complicated, but it's hard to do because a lot of people just don't want to do it. So... well, right now we're going to take a really quick break, and we're going to leave you the sounds of Mighty God by Dietrich Haddon. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few.
What a mighty God we serve.
working with clients and students, I found that creating and sticking with a budget is something that can be challenging. I wrote my ebook, Coming In and Going Out, The Guide to Making More and Spending Less, as a response to the budgeting challenges that most of us face. I, like so many other people, have had times where I reached the end of the month, was broke, and had no idea how I got there. As I've worked with clients, I found that many of them have systematically gone deeper into debt because they lived on more than they made and relied on credit to make up the difference. I teach my clients that if they'll commit to living on less than they make by creating a written monthly budget, they'll reach their financial goals. My proven budgeting strategies are outlined in my ebook and will put you on the path to reaching your financial destiny. Email me at sherrygray@themoneymom.org to learn how to get your copy of my ebook, Coming In and Going Out, The Guide to Making More and Spending Less. Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and I have with me as my special guest this hour, Mr. James Hells and his wife, Ashley Hells. And the title of this show is called 2-to-1, a couple's experience and advice to spouses. And last segment, we talked a little bit about what inspired James and Ashley to even consider Ashley coming home and spending more time with their daughter, Lauren. And I just want to say briefly, my youngest daughter's name is Lauren as well.
Awesome.
So, yeah. Oh. Talk to her name. She'll be 10 this week. So, Saturday.
You know, funny story about that, Lauren is actually named after our hometown, Laurel. So, yes. So, Laurel is my hometown, and then, of course, Dallas is where Ashley grew up the bulk of her life. So her name is Lauren Dallas. So.
Oh, and Ashley is actually my oldest daughter's name. She's 17. Isn't that funny? What a coincidence.
That's crazy.
So, but anyway, last segment we were talking about what inspired Ashley and James to have Ashley come home and spend more time with Lauren and what they did to prepare financially and the budget. I talked about it before, I'll say it again, the budget is so important to get that budget. And I like the fact, what I teach people too, is that you guys work together. I think that is key. Would you agree, James?
I definitely agree. Especially when we were going through marriage counseling, that was one big thing that my pastor harped on, like how most marriages are ending divorce. And one of the biggest problems is because of money. And Ashley and I had a talk. I can remember we were driving home from Mississippi. We were driving back to North Carolina from Mississippi one day, and we were listening to a financial advisor. Because every time we go on vacation, we tend to, I tend to get like a whole bunch of audiobooks. So we ended up getting an audiobook on financial management, and we were listening to it on the way back from.
Okay. I would like to mention it. It's called Smart Couples Finish Rich.
Yeah, that's the name of it.
Smart Couples Finish Rich.
And so we were listening to that audiobook, but before as we were listening to the audiobook, I was telling Ashley, I was like, "Well, this is how I see our finances going. We're no longer, one." Basically, I was like, "We're coming together as a couple. I was like, we're still individual people." That being said, I was like, basically, your money is my money is your money. However, we should give each other an allowance every month, so that. You know, if I want to spend something on something, I don't have to necessarily check in, with you and vice versa. But the majority of our money would go into one pot that takes care of, the running of the household, the running of, at the time Lauren wasn't born. So the running of the household, our investments or whether or not we want to take a family vacation here or there, all of that would be coming out of one pot. However, we at the same time, a certain percentage of that would be allocated to, an allowance for each other so that we don't have to feel like we have to check in. So that being said, that's how we set our marriage up initially. But as I was telling her that story, I was like, this is what I see. She immediately jumped in and was like, I don't see it going that way. She had a totally different view on that. It almost like kind of like the my money is. No, her thing was, do you remember, Ashley? I think you wanted all the money to go into one pot. And I was like, well, we still need we still individuals. I might want to go and do something crazy, and I don't feel like I need to, check in. Anyway, long story short, that's how we set up our money. As we were saying that, the financial coach on the radio actually chimed in and actually laid out the exact same plan that I laid out, where we would put everything together and have pots for an allowance. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, sometimes as wives, we do disagree with the husband. That's okay, right? As long as at the end we're on the same page, right?
Yes.
Yes.
But, you know, it's funny, someone has asked that question before. I always tell people to have their, you know, like you said, their money together. And someone said, well, what if I have my separate account just for, like, the same thing like you said, just to have, like, if I want to surprise, well, they wanted to surprise their husband with, like, a gift here and there, just put a little bit of money. I said, it's okay if you have a separate account for that, as long as the bulk of your money is together for, you know, all your major expenses. So, you know, either way works.
Well, in the modified approach to this is that one thing that we do is that although we have separate accounts, and I say separate accounts, they're not really separate, everybody has access to everybody else's account. So she can see what I'm doing, I can see what she's doing, but the whole point of it is to kind of keep it separate for just those little things where I need to go, I want to go hang out with the fellows, and we want to go buy wings for everybody kind of thing. So it's not, but it doesn't affect the household fund.
Right, miscellaneous things, purchases or things like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Now, I know you talked about the budget last segment and getting, you know, paying down your debt, saving your emergency fund, which is so key. But I know, Ms. Ashley, in the past, you have really talked about different ways to save money. And this is key. This is one of the things, a lot of people are spending more than they make in their budget. Or they don't have a budget, but they're still spending more than they make. And one of the things I tell them to do is you have to learn how to decrease your expenses and save money. What are some tips that you can share about saving money?
Sorry, this is, I have to say, this is something I get very, very passionate about because I think, you know, the best way to save money is not to spend it, and everyone wants to save money, right?
Right, yes.
So, of course, I think right around the time Lauren was born was when the extreme couponing trend really took off.
Right,
you know,
yes.
Like 2010, 2011.
Oh, I was on board. Yeah, I was right there.
I was with you. And I'll have to be honest, though, a lot of it was hit and miss. Sometimes I'd have a lot of success, and other times I feel like I would spend more on things I didn't need than, you know, I'd really planned to. So I did do extreme couponing, but then I kind of reeled it in, and I said, well, you know, if I find a coupon for things that I actually do buy, I'll just do better about holding on to those coupons. And so, you know, paying close attention, we're, I don't want to say simple people, but, you know, I think every family has their pattern, you know. The guy uses this kind of deodorant, the wife, you know, we'll use this kind of body wash. And so if you see those coupons, just really making a point to hold on to them. We have a family calendar, and so I'd actually pin them to the family calendar sometimes. And that way when I knew I was going to the store, I'd see it and I'd grab it right off. So yeah, my extreme couponing kind of morphed itself into that. Also,
you know,
consignment sales. Okay.
No, I was just saying, I was really on board with the extreme couponing when it first came out. I was hyped and everything. Then I realized it was a little bit too extreme, and I reeled it back in, too. So I kind of do couponing as I need to, as I have coupons, like you said, that you for products that I actually am going to use. So anyway, go ahead.
I was going to say, if you need any, I still have tons of ketchup in the garage.
Oh, no. I have barbecue sauce, ketchup, mustard. I'm good.
But, you know, especially with kids, a lot of times the consignment sales, you know, we were, we actually have a philosophy with our daughter, and it's something we just discovered through life and, you know, have read some studies on happiness, that we tend to spend more on experiences than things. And so, we'd rather take her to the zoo than maybe buy her a toy. And, you know, she's under the age of three or, you know, just about to turn three. And so they destroy toys anyway. They play with them for 2 hours and then they're done. And so the toys we did buy, we bought a lot of consignment toys and hand-me-downs. We've been blessed to have, you know, neighbors. And even if they weren't close friends, we made them close friends when we discovered that we were having a girl and they had girls older, because the clothes were just beautiful. And she's almost had her whole wardrobe always furnished by, you know, other kids' hand-me-downs, which are perfect for little play dates and things like that. And, you know, outside of that, just looking for sales at places like Carter's or TJ Maxx and, you know, the one of the things I like to do with, especially with Things for Lauren, is shop around. You know, when it's there's so much of an impulse, especially for stay-at-home moms, because we spend so much time doing the grocery shopping and the shopping for the house that you're a lot of product is being promoted to you all at one time. And so, you know, taking the time not to just buy the first thing you see and shopping around for items, it really helps. So,
I think that's a very good point. You said waiting around. Same thing with the coupons, like you were saying before. Don't go when you clip a coupon that you're going to use, don't use it right away. Wait for a sale, combine it with the coupon, you get, you know, extra savings. Same thing with clothes. Don't, you know, buy them. You know, you can buy summer clothes now for next year because they're, you know, slashing the prices. So waiting for a good sale is definitely going to save you money. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. No, planning your spending. That's what I call it. I think it's so important to say, yes, I'm going to spend, but I'm going to spend at this time. You know, it's so easy to fall off your budget when you do, like, impulse spending or an impulse buying.
Yeah.
And trust me, there are times I'm guilty of it, too, and I get fussed at for it. You know, where you can resist and you bought it. But, you know, that purchase never brings long-term happiness. I've never bought anything on an impulse. But I'm like, I'm so glad I actually bought that, you know. A lot of times if you plan for it and you know you got a great deal on it, you feel a lot better about it.
That's true. I'm not a big shopper in general, so I don't impulse buy a lot. Sometimes I do because I love food. So sometimes I'm at the grocery store and I'll buy something off the, you know, and I'm like, oh, that looks so good. So that's where I am. I'm not a clothes shopper, shoe shopper, but my thing is like is eating. So unfortunately, but yeah, that's awesome. So that is really great.
One other thing we do, and it's called watching out for the Joneses, because there are so many. Yeah, trends that are being promoted, especially to women nowadays, with not only food, but clothing and you know, child-rearing items. Oh, your kid needs this new Leapfrog toy. And not to knock any of it, because it's all amazing, but just kind of making sure that you're sticking to your budget and your family's plan and, you know, your spending plan, as opposed to just kind of keeping up with the latest trend. We have a lot of friends you know, maybe bought new houses, and we know that's not in our budget. But I tell you, it's so tempting to go to open houses on the weekends. Just wonder what it'd be like.
I know, and it's, you know, I was in a young lady from my church just had a baby shower, so I went to Babies R Us. She was registered, and I have a 10-year-old, so I haven't been to Babies R Us in I don't know how long, 8 years, whatever. And so, but I went in and I saw all these products, and I got fascinated. I was like, oh, the cribs, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a spaceship or a rocker. I mean, it was just so many neat things. I was mesmerized, and I could see going into that store. I'm like, wow, all the gadgets and everything. So, very tempting.
And
all
then
the commercials.
You know, you have the credit cards.
And
it gets tempting to say, well, I can't really afford it, but I'll just swipe it, and don't worry, we'll take care of it later.
Exactly.
You have to watch out for that.
Watching out for the Joneses. I love it. All right. Right now, we're going to take a really quick break, and I'm going to leave you with the sounds of Move by Mercy Me. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few.
I won't play along and ride. Keep going wrong and high. not bend, but I won't break. As long as I can see your face.
I want to tell you about my debt-free challenge 2013. I challenge my listeners to get on the road to becoming debt-free in 2013. I don't include mortgages in this debt-free challenge, but every other form of credit is fair game. Email me your total debt and how much you've paid towards your debt at the end of each month so I can keep track of everyone's progress. My email address is sherrygray@themoneymom.org. Each month, I'll award a prize to one person or couple who pays off the greatest percentage of their debt. A grand prize will also be given at the end of 2013 to the person or couple who pays off the greatest percentage of their debt for the entire year. The goal is simple. Look at what you're paying now towards debt and increase it to the point that you're completely debt-free by the end of 2013. Whatever you need to do, do it knowing that at the end of 2013, you could be debt-free. Welcome back to Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray. And again, I have with me this hour the Hills from North Carolina, Ms. Ashley and Mr. James. And last segment, we talked a little bit to Ashley about how to save money, because a lot of times people budget and they actually budget their money and they find that they're spending more than they make. And I would tell people, you need to look at your expenses, you need to look at how, you know, ways to save money. And Ashley gave us some awesome tips last segment, and I love that phrase, watching out for the Joneses. That is so right. I love it. Another thing I tell my students to do when they actually spend more money than they make is a lot of times you have to find ways to increase your income. Most people I work with, they really make enough money. They just need to pay more attention, budget, and really reel in what they're spending. But there are people out there who just don't make enough income to meet their expenses. And I'm going to throw this question to you, James. What can people do, what can spouses do, either spouse, to increase their income?
Okay. Yeah, great question. So as it relates to increasing your income, that's really something that we ended up having to do, especially since we were going from two incomes to one. I wanted to make mm-hmm. sure that, okay, given that Ashley's not going to be working, I need to find some way to replace much of the income. Yes, we made a lot of yes, we did save a lot of money by cutting corners here and there, but however, at the same time, we still needed to replace much of that much-needed income. So mm-hmm. one of the things, and I can talk about it in general sense, but then I can talk about exactly what we did. So in the general sense, you know, you can go out. There's always Craigslist and selling things on Craigslist, or when we were younger, we can always go mow lawns and things like that. But a lot of that wasn't really feasible for, you know, myself. I worked a lot at IBM, and so the amount of time that I really had wasn't conducive to picking up a second job necessarily, or picking up a second job where I can actually make the money that was lost. So what we did as a family, or as actually what I was doing slightly prior to even marrying Ashley, was that I started learning about ways that you can make money online. And I know that when you say that word, make money online, a lot of people think, mm-hmm. okay, oh, this is a scam, or this is some kind of multi-level marketing thing or whatever. And right. I was actually cognitive of a lot of that, because I actually failed for quite a few of those scams at the beginning. And so what I kind of learned.
James, Don't feel bad. I fell for them too. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I've fallen for the MLMs. I've fallen for the Ponzi schemes online. I've fallen for all of that. But then one day, kind of like that defining moment, was that I was at work, working in the lab, working in an IT lab, and a friend of mine, he was like, I'm leaving my job. I'm inviting you to my retirement party. And I'm like, why, you know, what's the whole deal about your retirement party? I thought he was joking. And he was like, dude, I make way more money than my job, than what they pay us here. I can quit. I don't need this job anymore. So anyway, long story short, I ended up pressing him to kind of tell me what he was doing. And basically, he created an online shop similar to what Groupon is today, but way before Groupon. Like, this was probably about 7 years ago or so. And in talking to him about it, what I began to learn is that there's lots of ways you can make money related to selling products online, namely like Amazon or eBay, and that's what I initially kind of started out doing. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, he was telling me that there's something called affiliate marketing where there's a lot of businesses online who will pay you to get them customers. And so that began my that basically began my walk down the road of actually, you know, learning how to do that online. So initially, I began to, you know, I was introduced to these affiliate networks out on online, and there were companies like, there were partner networks like Vistaprint. I know people who do business cards a lot of times use them. There was dating websites like eHarmony and, of course, insurance like Nationwide and State Farm. All of these companies will pay you a commission if you can get them customers or even leads. And so I began to promote these companies online. How I promoted them was everybody uses Google or Bing or Yahoo, and typically when people type in on a search engine, they type in a keyword phrase, and you know they go to their whatever they're looking for. But most people never really pay attention to there's ads on the very top of the page and on the right hand side of the page. Those are ads that I actually purchased in order to get listed in the search engines that I would, of course, send traffic, send visitors to my different affiliate programs. So, again, like Vistaprint or eHarmony or whatever. And once people landed on those sites, and I would get paid, like Vistaprint pays, like, you know, $12 for every person who orders some business cards. And eHarmony pays, pays you like $5 for every person that signs up for their site for free. So I began to really investigate this business model, and from that point on, I never looked back. Over time, with the advent of mobile phones, and there's a lot of opportunity there where everybody's heard of probably Angry Birds, and I think the biggest rave right now is Candy Crush.
My kids.
Yeah, so those particular games actually also have an affiliate program that if you can get people to download those games, they pay you a certain flat fee. Like I know Candy Crush pays me like $2.10 for every person that downloads that game. And so I mean, you think about the hundreds of thousands of people that download that game every day, it's really very easy to get people to download just by buying advertisement online.
Now I have a quick question, James. I have a question. Now you said you do have to pay for the ad first.
You have
an upfront fee.
Yeah. So how it works? Like I'm gonna use Google as an example. Google, when you go in and you basically pay for keyword phrases. So I'm gonna use Vistaprint. For Vistaprint, I was bidding on the phrase business cards, where the phrase business cards may cost me anywhere between 10 to 15 cents every time somebody clicks on that keyword phrase. On the back end, a certain percentage of those people who are actually looking for business cards will actually turn in the customers. And so it's basically an arbitrage setup where I try to make sure that my advertising costs are less than what my revenue is on the back end. So what I was really averaging at the time is like I may spend $5 in ads but end up making $12 on the back end. So I keep the spread of $7 for every time I would do that. And so that's basically how that works.
Wow. That's amazing. I never knew that. I see those ads all the time.
Mm-hmm. And so that's exactly like there's hundreds of companies out there that follow a similar type of model. And if mm-hmm. you find a company out there that you may be interested in, you may just Google on their site looking, you know, you may say Huggies Diapers affiliate program. I'm pretty sure they have an affiliate program that you can join and do the exact same thing.
Because, you know, I know bloggers have a, I don't know if it's the same thing, but if you go on blogs, some blogs, they'll have the ads in the corner on the side or at
yes.
the top. The banner or whatever, and mm-hmm. I know they get paid every time somebody clicks on that. It's
yeah,
usually Google
actually,
ads or something like that.
Yes, I actually have
right?
a few. It's different, but it's in the same
okay.
Kind of business model where
mm-hmm.
instead of me paying Google directly for
okay.
those particular ads, what happens is the people who own the blogs get a percentage of the ad revenue that Google was paid to show that ad there in the first place. So I actually owned a few blogs at the time a few years ago that I would place
mm-hmm.
Google advertisements on, and
right.
I would make, you know, maybe, you know, 10, 20 cents for every time somebody clicked on it or clicked on an ad. And over time, you know, if you have hundreds of visitors to your site every day, that adds up really
right.
quickly.
But you see your you make more revenue with what you're doing now, apparently.
Most of my revenue comes from mobile games and Amazon
okay.
promotion. Selling items online on Amazon.
Okay, so you say mobile games. People are looking at ads on their computer or on their mobile phone?
On their mobile phone. So now you've probably downloaded like a whole bunch of free games, or maybe your kids or anybody maybe
yeah.
listening. And typically typically these games are free, but they're free because they're ad supported. And so what I do is I go in and I buy those ads that are on the very popular games and redirect those clicks to other games where I'm getting paid to get visitors.
So is that why when I turn on my Android phone, my kids have downloaded all these games, and I get Google ads come pop up? Is that why?
Yes.
I got it.
I may have purchased some of those ads, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. And it's almost like residual. I mean, you don't have to do that much. Like you said, you don't have a whole lot of time. And, you know, you're already working full time. A lot of people, and that's why, you know, tell people to do too. You have children, you have a family, do something virtual. Do something where you can do it from the comfort of your home, and you can make money. I've told you know, you can be a bookkeeper, you can be, you know, what you do. You can do so many things. You know, the sky is the limit. But that's amazing that you can do
mm-hmm.
that. I never would have thought that you could make money from that business model. That's cool.
Yep.
Well, right now, we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to leave you with the sounds of This Is the Stuff by Francesca Battistelli. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few.
I love my little
Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I define financial legacy as making decisions about how you use your money so that you and your family are living in financial abundance, which overflows into and impacts your community. Then your family and your community will look at your money choices, see the positive impact on your life and theirs, and want to do what you did. As a certified personal finance counselor, my financial legacy workshops focus on giving, budgeting, building wealth, and leaving a financial legacy. A lot of my students want to focus on investing to build wealth. Unfortunately, most people don't have enough money left over every month to contribute what I recommend and are in danger of not having enough money to last them throughout their retirement. That's why I focus on the heart, giving tithes and offering, and budgeting before I ever talk about investing. If you're going to reach a state of financial legacy where you have enough money to pay your bills, become debt-free, build wealth, retire with dignity, and leave a financial legacy that your family can be proud of, the first step is signing up for my workshop. To learn more about how to become a part of my next financial legacy workshop, email me at sherrygray@themoneymom.org. Welcome back to Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and I have James and Ashley Hale with me this hour. And this show is called Two Incomes to One, A Couple's Experience and Advice to Spouses. And last segment, James kind of took the lead and talked about ways to increase your income. It's not only important to save money, but also a lot of times people have to find ways to increase their income. And I love the way he's doing it with the ads, and it's a extremely innovative business model to earn extra income, and it's virtual, and it allows you to spend time at home and to work from home. So that is truly amazing. And James, if people want to know more about how to save money or increase their income, how can they get in contact with you?
Go ahead,
okay. Yeah, we're both looking at each other like, okay, who's going to speak first? Sure. In order to get in contact with me, like, I'm not selling anything, so I'm not a salesman or whatever. But if you ever want to get in touch with me, my email address is OLLIE3030@yahoo.com. And I also have a blog at OlliHales.com. So that's OLLIEHALES.com. And on my blog, I basically, from when Lauren was born, basically started blogging about basically everything that was going on in family, things that were going on in my business, and how I was growing the business in order to be able to take care of the family while the little one when the little one came about. So.
Awesome. Very good, very good. So, Ollie.
And then my information can be at the same it's the OLLIE3030@yahoo.com.
Okay.
Yeah, 3030. And then my blog is more of a family blog, but I do also talk about some of our savings items there.
Okay.
It's HalesFamily.com.
HalesFamily.com and OlliHales.com. Awesome. Very good. I know, you know, you guys worked together, you did your budget, you got, you know, got a debt, you saved, you found ways to save money, you found ways to increase your income, but I'm sure over the course of the last couple years, you have faced some challenges. What are some of the challenges that you faced, you know, with one spouse going from full-time to part-time and staying home? And how did you overcome it?
I think one of the biggest issues that I initially had, just coming from my background, everybody worked. My mom worked. My mom was a single parent, so my mom worked. All her sisters worked. So I had it ingrained in my head that, okay, once you get married, your wife is going to work. And, you know,
right.
I never expected to have a wife who never worked. Like the only person that I ever, you know, that the only idea of a wife that didn't work was like, you know, like a first lady. But, you know, other than that, I'm like, you know, nobody, you know, my wife is going to work. So once
right.
she came home, you know, there was, you know, we, again, given the decision that we made, I knew it was the right decision for my family. However, over
yeah.
time, I really began to feel, like, really jealous of her being at home. Because I was thinking, like, well, what does she do all day? She just stays at home with the kid, and, you know, I'm at work, and I'm being stressed out with business and deadlines and this, that, and the third.
Right.
And she's at home, you know. So that was one of the
right.
biggest issues I had to really get over. Because
right.
On the days that I, you know, I were at home or, you know, I realized that she does a lot of work for our daughter to keep
right.
her in line. So it is like another job.
It is, and I think people don't understand that. Being a mom is all-consuming.
It truly is. And I think, I guess for myself, having grown up, you know, I've got a college education, and I had a high career job, and so kind of
yeah.
settling into that more traditional role was definitely a shift, right? And you kind of have
That's
to,
true.
You know,
yeah.
we definitely, you know, in our marriage, it worked that we did kind of fall back in traditional roles. And since he was the man, you know, I had my
mm-hmm.
say over these portions of the money, but, you know, he kind of earned the money, and so I had to respect him
yeah.
as such, and, you know, any woman knows that, you know, it's, keeping a house is hard.
Yeah.
One of the most
it's
difficult
extremely
done
hard.
Is always something. Yeah, there's always something to be done, and especially with
yeah.
our daughter and the values we were trying to instill in her, I mean, you can doubt yourself
mm-hmm.
all day long on the job you're doing there, but, yeah, definitely kind of falling into those more traditional roles was an adjustment, right, coming from, you know, our backgrounds.
You know, for myself, my parents were married, but my mom and my dad worked, and my mom was more of this, she had a stronger personality than my dad was more laid back, and so I was like that too, and I had the same issue with me trying to fall back into a more traditional role, because I've been working from home since October 2011, and it's just interesting transition. And my husband, I remember my husband called me, and he didn't mean anything by it. He called me at home and like, what are you doing? I'm like, what am I doing? I'm not. I don't think he thought I was doing anything, and he didn't mean anything by it. Sweet, but I can relate to what James said. It's like, you know, like, man, you're at home, and you know, what are you doing all day? And but you know, he. We've, you know, gotten through all that, and so he understands I do work. I do things.
Yeah,
I do have a business.
It's funny because we have our budget, and I'll just go ahead and tell it. For the three of us to eat for the month, we're only allowed to spend $300 on groceries, and that's including toiletries and everything. Face washes,
wow.
all of it. It's got to come out of $300. And I know it sounds, I guess it depends on where you're at, kind of what that sounds like. But
that's true, yeah.
You know, I'll never forget when James, the first time he had to go to the grocery store, because, you know, part of the traditional roles was I manage the grocery budget, and so I manage the
mm-hmm.
meals. And he had to go
yeah.
and pick up something just randomly one day because I'd gotten caught up in a few things. And he came back and he said, I had no idea how much milk costs. He goes, how do you do it? That's part of what my new job is. So.
Exactly. Yeah, I can relate. It was difficult for me to transition and still, you know, have ups and downs. But yeah, you have your education, you have your degree, and then now you're and there's nothing. And that was the thing too. I had a struggle with, and I don't know if you can relate, Ashley, mm-hmm. but when people found out I was working from home, it's like, oh, you're a stay-at-home mom. It's like I was less than. Do you know
yes.
what I mean? Like than women yeah. who worked outside the home. And it was my ego kind of rising
yes.
up, and I was like, well, wait a minute. I do this and I do that.
Yes,
and I think what
yes.
other people thought of me, it really, I had to get over that because other moms who worked outside the home would look at me and say, oh, wow, okay, you're not doing anything.
Yes.
So,
yes.
That was a
little
hard.
Well, in the same vein, I think every woman who has worked out of the home and then kind of comes back to the home, you kind of miss the extravagances,
yes.
right, that the second
yeah.
income brought in. And that was
That's
definitely
true.
A shift. You know, I wasn't making as much as James, but I was making a really decent salary. And, you know, I kind of
yeah.
missed the, oh, I'll just go to the mall and buy myself a new outfit. It's like on one
mm-hmm.
income, you have to make some sacrifices there. And,
yeah,
yeah those
yeah.
sacrifices took a little getting used to. But, you know,
yeah.
in the end, you know, I think we both have a better, and I encourage anyone who's wavering on the decision that you and your spouse
mm-hmm.
will have a stronger peace of mind, especially in regard to your children. When
it is,
you decide to make that decision.
It's true, and I can't speak, I guess I am going to speak for my husband, but I think he feels, I don't know, he was always the head of the household, but it's different when he's the one working
yeah.
and bringing the money. It's like he's actually in that role, and
mm-hmm.
it makes him feel good to be able to provide
yeah.
for him. See it.
I can echo that, and for me, it was there's peace. I think,
mm-hmm.
again, the biggest thing was,
yeah.
like, my wife was stressed, and I was stressed,
yeah.
and, you know,
yeah.
but now that she's come home, there's a level of peace
mm-hmm.
in the household that, you know, that's
right.
invaluable. It's like, you know, I would
mm-hmm.
trade that over her. I mean, I wouldn't trade that over her going back to work any day. I'm like, you know, I love
yeah.
it. It's
yeah.
great. It's, you know, I come
yeah.
home, and, you know, she doesn't even have to have anything, no, any food cooked, but I'm just happy that she's happy
yeah.
and my daughter's happy.
That's the thing, too. He said the same thing. My husband says, peace, it's like, I'm not rushing home. Like, if the kids get sick, you got to rush home, and who's going to get them from school, and who's going to, it was just stress all the time. And now I'm here with the kids, and I can be here, and he doesn't have to worry about who's going to, you know, take the bus home or commute home. So it's so
mm-hmm.
true. Have you found any other challenges, or those were the main challenges you found?
Retirement was a big one for me.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
She was talking
about me. There was a little echo. It was a big adjustment for me because, you know, my previous employer had a 401k plan, and, you know, every
mm-hmm.
time I got a paycheck, I was contributing to my 401k plan. And, you know, in the budget
right.
that we set up, I wasn't getting the same paycheck. And my little part-time
mm-hmm.
job provides some residual income, but it definitely didn't have those types of benefits. And so
yeah.
I think that our solution to that was definitely to kind of consider what we wanted our retirement to look like and
mm-hmm.
more actively manage the money that I'd already saved and our overall goals. And so
yeah.
whereas before I was kind of just taking a percentage and tucking it into that 401k account, not really knowing, I didn't know what the fund did or how it grew or you know, where it grew and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm definitely much more aware of kind of what's in that account, where the money is, and, you know, what our retirement wants to look like. We've got some goals right now to kind of solidify things in our now or in our coming years, especially with our daughter and her college savings and, you know, with
mm-hmm.
our mortgage and our home.
Yeah.
And so that when that age comes, should he retire or I retire, we're in a position where it's not just, well, we hope that the money we've tucked into this little financial closet
mm-hmm.
is enough.
Yeah.
It's more that we've actively managed what's in there and we're conscious of what's in there so that that it can actually serve its purpose in that time.
And I think that's good too, because most people don't pay attention. I think that's the key. At least you're starting. I tell people whether you start small and you can work your way up to whatever your percentage, your goal is as far as saving for retirement or saving for anything. But most people just don't pay attention, and you guys are, so that's cool. And you're young, so you have so much time. It's so good that you're starting it now while you're the age you are now, and so you'll be set by the time, like you said, by the time you retire. Who knows, you could retire early. So why does 65 have to be, you know, the retirement age? Right after you're 50 or 55, whatever. So.
Oh, best believe, we're working that plan.
Oh, awesome, okay. Awesome, awesome. Well, I just want to thank you guys for being on the show, but I have one more question for you. This is unrelated to finances, but I call this God is still working. Can you name one thing? I'll start with James first and then Ashley. Name one thing about yourself that you can say, God is still working on this in me to take me from where I am to where he wants me to be.
I would definitely say, I have patience, but I think more so the increasing your faith. Like, you know, there's a lot of times where it's like, you know, I believe that this is going to happen, or I believe that, you know, I'm believing God for this, and these things may have not come to pass right now, but allowing me to be still and be like, okay, I know God is going to work it out, and he's done it before, you know, and I know that's so cliche or whatever, and but at the same time, it actually works. At one point, this was sometimes a few years ago, I ended up having to keep a journal to be like, okay, well, God did this in my life, God did this in my life, God did this, you know, X, Y, Z. And so in those times that I'm, like, really trying to, you know, I'm really, that doubt starts to creep in, I'm like, okay, I can go back and look, well, he did this, he did this, he did this. So, you know, why are you tripping kind of thing. So that's probably one of the biggest things that I deal with constantly.
I think Dietrich Haddon has a song, right? He did it before. Is it Dietrich Haddon or Ty Trivet?
I think it's
Ty Trivet, but I thought
he
was on that record.
Yeah, I want to say it's Ty Trivet. He did it before. Basically saying he did it before, he'll do it again. So that's true, very true. So I'll shoot the question to you now, Ms. Ashley. What is God still working on in you?
And it's interesting. There's a book, and it's called Having a Married Heart in a Martha World. And it
Having a Married Heart in a Martha World?
It's from Luke chapter 10, it's verse 40. And I'm grabbing the book right now so I can tell you the author. But it's a beautiful book, and it really talks about how women, especially in the busyness of our lives, need to really stress to have a connection with God. And so taking that time in my business schedule to actually sit down and just spend time in the Word, that is definitely something God's stretching me on. Because, you know, in supporting James and his businesses and keeping the house and making sure I'm feeding into our daughter and then still trying to take out time to spend time with friends and you know how it can get. And so by Joanna Weaver, Having a Merry Heart in a Martha World, a beautiful book that's definitely stretching me to spend more time, not just devoted to myself personally or to friends or to my husband or my daughter, but just between me and God. So he's working on me with that.
Awesome. Well, I just want to thank you guys for just joining me this hour. I really appreciate you coming on. And if you guys want to know more about or learn more about how to save money, increase your income, you can email Ashley and James at Ollie3030@yahoo.com. That's Ollie3030@yahoo.com. Or you can go to Ashley's blog at halesfamily.com, halesfamily.com, or James's blog, OllieHales.com, OlliHales, HALES.com. And thank you guys for tuning in once again. And remember that if you didn't get a chance to listen to my live show online at blogtalkradio.com/themoneymom, don't worry, you can listen to all the archives of my past shows at themoneymom.org or also, of course, blogtalkradio.com, including this show. I want to leave you with the sound of an old school. I try to go old school at the end of every one of my shows, and this is no exception. I'm going to leave you with the sounds of Jesus Is Real by New Life Community Choir featuring John P. Key. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you next time.